Imagine reading a newspaper one morning and you come across this advertisement. Men wanted for hazardous journey, low wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return, doubtful. Would you apply? Probably not. Yet, in 1914, 27 men did. Now, the news article is a bit of folklore, a bit of legend for any history buffs here. But 27 men followed the explorer Ernest Shackleton on an Antarctic expedition to be the first people to cross Antarctica. However, the expedition failed. Their ship, called the Endurance, was crushed by ice. They drifted for months, yet somehow every single person survived. To this day, historians still ask, what kind of leader inspires people to follow him into something that dangerous? Because people don't follow someone like that unless they believe they're worth trusting. Throughout history, we have seen remarkable leaders, leaders who inspire people to risk so much, to risk everything, but no one has ever invited people into something greater than Jesus. And Jesus, he never promised it was going to be easy, but he does promise that it will be worth it and that he would be with us. In our story that we're going to be looking at today, we're going to see Jesus walking along the side of the Sea of Galilee. And he's going to look at two fishermen and simply say, "Follow me." And there's a few things I love about this. He didn't recruit soldiers. He didn't go to the politicians or the religious leaders and scholars. He walked up to two ordinary fishermen, looked them in the eye, and simply said, "Follow me." And immediately they left their nets and they followed him. Why? Like, why would anyone leave everything to follow someone they had just met? That's the question we're going to explore this morning. Like, who does that? Who leaves their career, their security, their family business, their future to follow someone with no map, no guarantee, not even an explanation? Well, we're going to find out. We are continuing our series, Gone Fishing. And we started this last week, and we actually met these same fishermen, Peter, Andrew, James, John. But we met them last week at the end of their story, when they had gone back to fishing. They didn't know what Jesus was doing next, so they went back to what was familiar, what was comfortable, what they did know. But this week, we're going to start back at the beginning. Because before Peter ever cast his net on the other side of the boat, Jesus first asked him to let it go. He asked him to leave it. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to discover why four ordinary fishermen were willing to leave everything to follow Jesus. So Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 18. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. Jesus called to them too, and they immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. May God bless the reading of his word. What immediately jumps out to me with reading that text is this sentence here. They left their nets at once and followed him. Nowadays, most of us read right past that when we're reading a text, whether it's in our devotional or we're reading through a book of the Bible. We just see, follow me. Oh, yeah, that's what they did, because we know the story. For those of us who've grown up in the church, who are familiar with it, we kind of know how it ends. But let's go back to the first audience of Matthew's gospel. Like, this line here would have stopped them in their tracks, because those nets weren't simply fishing equipment. To Peter and Andrew, those nets were so much more than nets. Those nets represented their entire world. They represented income, security, identity, family, routine, comfort. It represented certainty. This was something that was tangible, that they could hold on to. Leaving the nets meant walking away from everything that made sense. And it meant trading certainty for a person. It meant trading certainty for Jesus. And can you imagine that? No roadmap, no timelines, there's not the 5-year plan, like follow me and we'll do A, B, C. There's no explanation, just Jesus walking up to you in the middle of an ordinary workday, looking you in the eye and just saying, follow me. And somehow they let go. And again, I just go back to the question, why? Why would anyone walk away from everything they know for everything they don't? And I believe it's because by this point, they had already discovered something about Jesus. They may not have known where he was taking them, but they were convinced he was worth following. They didn't know the where, but they knew the who. That's why people follow Jesus. Not because they understood everything, not because he had this agenda before them, but because they had become convinced he was the kind of leader worth trusting and worth following. And if you read the Gospels together, it might seem like this is a little abrupt, like he's just saying, follow me, and they don't even know who he is. The Gospels paint a little bit of a different story in the sense that they would have at least understood who Jesus was. They understood him as a rabbi and a teacher, so they did have some context, but still, he was the kind of leader worth trusting, and they knew that. So while they're just out fishing, and he says, follow me, they were ready to let the nets go. And I believe that's exactly where this story collides with our lives. Because that's still the invitation today. Jesus still calls ordinary people to leave what feels familiar for something far, far better. Jesus calls us to loosen our grip on the things we're holding on to so tightly, to those things that we're trusting more than him, so that we can actually follow him. So this morning, if you're finding that you have some clenched fists, that you're like, no, don't make me give up these things, I invite you, breathe a little, stretch the fingers out, loosen your grip. Because faith begins where familiarity ends. In other words, you can't follow Jesus into the future while you're clinging to the past. And I get it. We want to stay comfortable. We want to stay where it's familiar, where we're in control, where we have a sense of order. But I believe Jesus is calling us into a life that's so much better than we could ever imagine if we would just be willing to loosen our grip. So I want to ask you this question. Has Jesus been stirring something in your heart lately? Whether it's through church or at home or in the workplace, has he been asking you to take a step of faith. But maybe you're afraid of what it might actually cost. Or you're afraid of the unknown. You don't know what's next. Well, at the heart of that question is this one. What's your net? What are you holding on to? Because it feels safer to hold on to it than to follow Jesus. Maybe your net isn't made of actual rope, but it's made of control. It's made of security and comfort. Maybe it's the net of this identity that you've been building for years and years and years. And maybe it's your career, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's even just fear itself. It's more comfortable to hold on to fear than to let go of that. Or maybe it's the version of your future that you've already decided has to happen. Whatever it is, I've learned over the years that Jesus has this funny habit of gently placing his finger on those areas in our life that we grip the tightest. I was actually told by one person one time that sometimes those things are like bars of soap. The harder we try and hold on, the easier they slip out. But letting go is only half the invitation of Jesus. Because Jesus never asks us to leave something without inviting us into something. So let me ask you another question. What has Jesus been stirring in your heart lately? Is there a conversation you've been avoiding? A step of faith that you've been resisting? A ministry that he's been nudging you toward? Or maybe it's just a simple act of forgiveness. Generosity. Maybe it's the step of baptism or serving or sharing your faith. Whatever it is, if Jesus has been speaking to you, I have a feeling you already know what it is. I know that you know what Jesus is saying. And how do I know that? Because I've been there. I've been sitting right where you are when a pastor has been on stage speaking, saying, if your relationship with God is stagnant, go back and do the last thing God asked you to do. And as soon as Pastor Derek, my pastor, had said that, bam, I knew, like it just hit me. I had to go into youth ministry. Like my weight, my chest felt heavy, like this weight had been placed on it. Like my breathing was shallow and I'm like, so like all good Christians do, I avoided it for the next 4 years. I was like, that's not for me, Jesus. Like, I know you're speaking loud and clear. But man, that moment, it was just so clear. And that's how I know, like, if Jesus has been nudging you, I believe he will make that clear to you. If you're sitting there thinking, nothing really. Well, he might not be speaking to you yet. And that's okay. I believe he will, but maybe just not yet. But for those of you who you just feel it suddenly, like Jesus has been asking me to take this step, I encourage you to trust him. Because here's what I've discovered over the years. Jesus rarely tells us what's on the other side until we're willing to let go of what's in our hands. We want him to tell us the details. We want him to say, okay, Jesus, just tell me how this is going to work out. Then I'll take the step. And he says, that's not how it works. You have to trust me. But you better believe it's going to be more incredible than you could ever imagine. Because here's something else I've learned. Sometimes Jesus doesn't ask us to leave something behind because it's bad. Sometimes he asks us to leave it behind because we're trusting it more than him. There are things in our life that we do need to leave behind, that we need to step away from our old sinful life. But then there are other things and you're like, but God, like this doesn't make sense. I have a good job. It provides for my family. I love what I do, but you're calling me to give up this. Yeah, he might be. And if I'm honest, this is the part I struggle with, because I'm sure, like many of us, if we were Peter, we'd have some questions. Like, okay, Jesus, where are we going? How long are we going to be gone? Who's paying the bills? What's the plan? Like, as I start rambling that, I'm thinking of Donkey from Shrek. Like, kind of, and Shrek's like, ugh. Like, that would be me on this journey. That is me on this journey most of the time. But what I love is that Jesus doesn't answer those questions. You see, Jesus doesn't give us a plan. He gives us himself. And notice what Jesus doesn't say. He doesn't say, here's where you're going to preach. Here's what Pentecost is. Here's the church that's going to unfold. Here's the miracles you'll get to participate in. Here's Rome. Here's your future. He simply says, follow me. That's it. And if I can be honest, I wish he had given them a plan. Because that's what I want. I want the timeline, and I want to know how it's all going to work out. At the beginning of this church, that's all I wanted. That's what made church planting so stinking hard, because God called me to this. I'd never envisioned it, never dreamed of it, never wanted it. And yet he said, here's what you're going to do. And there is no roadmap. There is no five-year plan. And people are going to ask you what the budget is, and you're not going to have one. And people still ask me that question. What's our budget for this? I'm like, I'm trusting God. And if you've worked with me, you understand that. Jesus rarely gives us the whole picture, but he does give us the next step. And what's easy to miss in this text is that the Greek word translated as they followed him, followed, is akalutheo. And it means so much more than just following behind someone. Akalutheo, it describes walking with someone, learning from them, ordering your life around them. So Jesus is saying, attach yourself to me. Stay with me, learn from me, walk with me. And it's not just this one-time decision, like I raised my hand on August 13th, 2000. It's a lifetime. Like those moments are important, and they're things that we should celebrate and hold on to, but our commitment to Christ is a lifetime. And while we love plans, Jesus offers relationship. And while we want certainty, Jesus offers companionship. And while we want answers, Jesus offers himself and says, walk with me. Following Jesus isn't about knowing where you're going. It's about knowing who you're walking with. Juan, I'm going to get you for a minute to come up. Sorry to pick on you, but for those of you who don't know, this is Juan. He's been on our worship team the last few weeks, and he was Landon's soccer coach last year. But what I want you to do is I just want you to follow me for a moment. All right. Thanks. Now, was Juan following me? Yeah? Okay. Most people, that's how we kind of think of our relationship with Jesus. He kind of walks on ahead, and then we kind of follow behind. Sometimes we're a little reluctant. I like that. But then I think what actually Jesus is getting at with this akalutheo word is the arm around. And then when we start walking together, we're actually doing life together. We're talking, we're walking, we're learning. So thanks, Juan. And I wasn't sure if I was gonna pick on anyone, but then you were sitting right there, I had to. But that's what Jesus is talking about. He's not just saying, hey, I'm gonna run over here and you better keep up. He's saying, walk with me. Let's do life together. Following Jesus isn't just about the destination. It's about staying close to him. So are you close with Jesus? In this moment, right now, with everything else going on in your life, are you close to Jesus? And if not, what needs to change so you can be? Because I guarantee it's not that, oh, Jesus needs to get closer to me. It's something in our life that usually pulls us away from Christ. Jesus doesn't give Peter a plan. He gives Peter his presence, because it's not just about trusting his plan. It's about trusting his presence. It's trusting who he is. So even when you can't see the plan, you can trust his presence. You can trust that he is with you. If we just focus on the plan, well, then we miss out on the life that Jesus truly offers us. If we just focus on the plan, well, then we'll be overwhelmed the moment plans change. But if we focus on his presence, if we walk with Jesus, then even when life changes, we know that he hasn't. So it doesn't matter what comes at us if we know he is with us. Peter didn't know that there were storms up ahead. He didn't know that there were going to be prisons and persecution. He didn't know about Pentecost or miracles. He didn't know that there was going to be a cross waiting for Jesus, and eventually one for himself. But he knew this. He knew that he wasn't walking alone. There's something else in this story that I've never really noticed before, but when I saw it throughout my study, it just resonated. It blew my mind. What were Peter and Andrew doing when Jesus found them? It's not a trick question. They were fishing. And what does Jesus immediately tell them they'll become? Fishers of people. Now, that's not the mind-blowing part. What blew my mind is that Jesus doesn't tell them to stop fishing. He tells them, I'm going to transform your fishing. Meaning, he doesn't erase fishing from their lives. He transforms it. He says, I'm going to show you how to fish for people. Meaning, Jesus doesn't waste your nets. He repurposes them. Those things that you hold on to, those things that you struggle with, that you just can't let go. Jesus isn't just wanting to do away with them once and for all. He's wanting to transform them, to repurpose them. Think about it. Jesus could have said, I'm going to make you shepherds. I'm going to make you teachers. I'm going to make you soldiers. But he doesn't. He says, I'm going to make you fishers. Because that's the language they understood. That's the world they knew. That's the life that they had lived. And Jesus begins with what they already know, and he gives it this brand new purpose. And why I love that so much is because when I was growing up, youth group transformed my life. It changed me. When I went to grade 10, my family started going to a new church. And I've shared this before, but it was mainly two girls who invited me to a Halloween party that got me going. But then, it was God that kept me there. And I can look back over the years and just all these different interactions that I had and youth leaders that I had that just helped shape me. And it helped me follow Jesus and learn about him and fall in love with him. And I had no idea that one day God would use that passion and those experiences to shape me and call me into youth ministry, to shape our church as it continues to grow and evolve into youth ministry. I thought at the time, God's just giving me an awesome experience. But looking back, he was preparing me every step of the way. And maybe your story is different. Maybe you're a teacher, a business owner, a mechanic, a nurse, a parent, an artist, a retiree. But whatever it is, don't miss this. God rarely wastes anything. I know for some, camp was a meaningful experience. And God can then transform those things. But then, I also don't want it to just sound like, well, it has to be great experiences God can redeem and transform, because some of you have also gone through the ringer of life. Like, there are heavy things that happen. There's abuse, there's divorce, there's addictions. Like, you name it. I know some of the stories that people have walked through. But God can use it and redeem it and repurpose it. Because you see, God isn't asking you to become somebody else. He's asking you to let him redeem who he's already been shaping. He's been with you every step of the way. The disciples thought Jesus was taking them away from fishing, but Jesus was actually preparing them to fish in a way they never imagined. And I find it interesting that last week Jesus told these experienced fishermen to cast their nets on the other side, but this week he's telling them to leave them. And there's a tension there. It almost seems contradictory until you realize the point was never the nets. The point has always been Jesus. And maybe that's exactly where some of you are this morning. Jesus isn't asking you to become somebody else. He can forgive your past. He can redeem your past. But he doesn't erase it. He isn't asking you to have everything figured out. He isn't even asking you to know where he's taking you. He's simply asking, will you follow me? Will you trust me with it? And maybe he's asking some of you to leave something behind today. Maybe he's asking you to trust him with a future you can't yet see. And maybe he's inviting you to discover the greatest adventure of your life isn't found in holding on to what's familiar, but is found in walking with him. Sometimes Jesus is going to ask us to pick up our nets, and sometimes he's going to ask us to leave them. But the point isn't the nets. The point is Jesus. Following Jesus will always cost you something. But I can promise you, I can guarantee you, you will never regret what you leave behind when you discover who you're walking with. Jesus is still walking by ordinary people and saying, follow me. So my prayer this week is that we would have the courage to let go of whatever he's asking us to let go of and discover and step into where he's leading us next. You don't have to know where Jesus is taking you. You only have to know who you're following. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your call. For your call of these disciples and for their faithfulness to you. But most importantly, your faithfulness to them. God, I thank you for the call that you have on each one of our lives. And I know that there's areas in all of our lives that we're holding on to a little too tight, because it feels safer to hold on to that than to trust you with it. But God, I pray that this morning, here and now, that we will let go of those things, those nets that we're holding on to for certainty. And that we'll open our hands to what you want to do in and through us as we take next steps towards you. God, I just want to take a moment and just invite anyone who's here this morning who knows that there's just an area of their life that they have to let go of, just to simply raise their hand, just to simply respond saying, I know I need to trust God with this. Thanks. God, you see every hand raised. You see every heart in here. And I pray that you just draw near to each and every person this morning. Show them that you are with them. Remind them that you are with them. And that, God, that a life spent with you is far better than anything else we could imagine. So God, as we go into this new week, I pray that we step into it with courage and a new sense of anticipation and expectation to see you move. So God, we just want to declare now that yes, we will follow you wherever you call. Continue to move in us, around us, through us. May all the glory be yours and yours alone. In your name we pray. Amen.